This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Worcester Polytechnic Institute inaugurated its first ever female president last weekend. Lori Leshin is a space scientist who's had multiple jobs in academia and also did a six-year stint at NASA, where she worked at the Goddard Space Flight Center. That's where a huge team of scientists and engineers study the Earth, the Sun, our solar system, and the universe. Now, Leshin is in charge of one of the country's first engineering and technology universities. We spoke with Leshin before her inauguration about everything from her childhood interest in science to her NASA gig to her aspirations for the future of Worcester Polytech. And she told us in her own words that she is a proud space nerd.
I am a kind of a techno geek, yeah. And I embrace that. And that's one of the things I love about being at a place like WPI is I found my tribe. These are my people. We love the technology and the kind of cool tech and yes, we're nerds and we love it.
From the time you were a kid, is that what you were drawn to?
I've been drawn to space since I was 10 years old, standing in my mother's kitchen looking at the first pictures from the Viking landers of the surface of Mars. I remember very distinctly looking at the pictures in Time magazine and wanting to reach out and touch those red rocks. I think because it looked a lot like Arizona, where I was living. But those rocks spoke to me, and I'm just really fortunate that I've really had the chance to get to work in the space program. When I got to college, I didn't know that you could actually have a job working in space. I thought it was really cool, but I didn't know that you could actually be a scientist who did that. So I was very fortunate to find some professors who supported me in an effort to get a summer internship at NASA, and that really opened my eyes to the possibilities.
So did you end up studying something like astrophysics in college?
I studied chemistry as an undergraduate, geochemistry as a graduate student. So I consider myself a cosmochemist. I study the chemistry of space rocks, basically, on Mars, meteorites, asteroids, things like that.
You have spent much of your professional career in academia and took this detour to work at NASA. Why did you decide that you wanted to take a break from administration and faculty and work at a place like NASA?
I was actually on a very traditional faculty academic track when I left to go to NASA. I was running a lab and had graduate students and was teaching big classes, and it was great. I served on a presidential commission. I was fortunate to be asked while I was a faculty member to serve President Bush, the second President Bush, to serve on a commission looking at the future of our space program. And I met incredible people on that commission, people who had worked in the public sector, the private sector, nonprofits, universities, had a range of experiences that really equipped them to come in and quickly assess the situation and understand how to be helpful. And it was the first time that I really kind of felt the ivory tower. I literally grew up on university campuses. I worked there my whole career.
You felt the limitations of the ivory
And I felt that broadening my experience would be very helpful. And they were very encouraging of me, some of these folks, some of whom were, you know, undersecretaries of this, that, and the other thing. Amazing public servants, said, you know, think about and consider this. And if someone comes calling, let us know and we'll help you decide. And they were great in supporting me and deciding to make the leap to go to NASA.
The work you did at NASA included overseeing the agency's human spaceflight activities. You know, for many people, they look at all the problems here at home. How do you remind people or make the argument to people that it's important to keep an eye and resources put into our outer space activities, even when we have problems at home that can seem intractable here domestically?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've worked a lot both on the scientific side, so I'm a member of the Mars Curiosity Rover team, as well as on the human spaceflight side of NASA. So if you take Curiosity Rover as an example, it costs $2.5 billion. That's real money. That's a lot. But I like to remind people that it's not that we take $2.5 billion and strap it to the top of a rocket and launch it into space. That $2.5 billion is actually spent right here on Earth in the U.S. on great high-tech jobs doing innovative things on the cutting edge of what technology enables us to do. And so it's a kind of investments that we should be making as a country into not only exploring the unknown, discovering new things, but also into inventing and discovering our way to economic growth and prosperity.
Because you are so fascinated by space, did you ever consider becoming an astronaut?
I did. I did consider it. And I think most of us in the space business would be lying if we said we hadn't. My issue is I would be throwing up the entire time.
I get
completely motion sick very, very easily. So I know that it would not have been a good path for me. But boy, I would absolutely love to see the Earth from up there. And I would love to set foot in that Martian dirt.
You spent much of your childhood on campuses because your parents were in academia. Mm-hmm. Then you spent much of your adult professional life on campuses through your work as deans and administration. You took the detour to NASA, but now you're back in academia. Why did you decide you wanted to return to that?
I miss the students. when you grow up on a university campus, I think academia is sort of in your blood. And I always knew that I wanted to come back and was looking for the right sorts of opportunities to do that in a leadership role where I really thought I could make an impact on great institutions. And so I went back initially to RPI as Dean of Science, and that was great. And then the opportunity to go to WPI has just been extraordinary. It's I really feel like we were sort of meant for each other.
Why? Why do you think so?
Because they really do embrace their, you know, techno geekness, which I absolutely do. They are a community that, like me, loves learning, embraces the diversity of opportunities out there to learn new things. They're a very collaborative community. And most importantly, they are a community that's dedicated to innovation, but not just innovation, innovation with impact. They are in 40 different places around the world. Our students go, we do 1,000 projects a year in communities all over the world where we're taking STEM and STEM disciplines and applying them to make people's lives better in Africa, in New Zealand, in Central America, in Europe, in Worcester, in Boston. And we're doing that each and every day, each and every year.
Off-campus experience while people are enrolled.
That's correct. So WPI's whole educational model is based on project-based learning. And
what's an example of that? What's a student at WPI doing right now?
Okay, so we have 25 students right now in Cape Town, South Africa, working in communities that pop up outside the city, trying to help them with various technological issues, whether it's clean water or better insulation for their somewhat makeshift homes that they live in. So we've got students working in, you know, Worcester on rainwater drainage and how do we, you know, improve the work there. We've got people in Panama. We've got people in New Zealand working on earthquake and tsunami preparedness. So again, it takes a technological or scientific issue and it combines it with a human issue. So I love it that it really sits at the intersection of science and technology and people's lives.
Lori Lesh, and I've read that in your new job as president of Worcester Polytech, you've said that you want to turn up the volume. How do you see that playing out? What do you want to change?
Right now, only about 2/3 of our students do one of their projects off campus, and we'd like to see that number up over 90%. And the thing that prevents that other third from doing it is, frankly, financial. And so we need to figure out how it is we can help reduce the barrier of entry for some of these students to do their projects off campus. All of our students do projects, but literally we send 750 students a year around the world. We know it works, by the way, as well. I would be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, we're in the top 1.5% of universities, four-year universities in the country in return on investment and starting salaries. So our students are getting great jobs, and employers love the fact that our students walk in the door knowing how to attack a problem, knowing how to solve a problem. They go to our project centers for 2 months. Our students know they can solve almost any problem in 7 or 8 weeks.
I understand that Worcester Polytech has a big focus on robotics.
We do. We do indeed. Yes, we've got the first in the nation robotics engineering degree program. It's got over 300 students in it now.
Out of a total of enrollment of how much?
4,200 undergraduates, a couple thousand graduate students, so just over 6,000 total. The White House has asked us to host a conversation about how we might use robots to help with the Ebola crisis.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what are the ideas there? Going into places where people are afraid to go?
Well, exactly. So think about disinfecting and certain areas. Could you use robotic systems for that? Think about moving the remains that people might be concerned about coming into contact with.
Those are great examples of the practical applications of the science.
And exactly right. And WPI is all about theory and practice together. So we start with those fundamentals and we think about how it is you can actually put them into practice. And the third way is actually, and this sounds a little funny until you start thinking about it, is companionship. If you're in isolation, if you're in quarantine, I'd probably rather have a robot companion than nobody at all. And we actually amazingly have robot companions that we work on for elderly people to help them, for autistic kids. There's real opportunity here.
Lori, you're also the first female president that Worcester Polytech has ever had. How significant do you think that is?
I don't know how significant it is. It is significant to a lot of people. And in that sense, I really appreciate the question. We're 149 years old, about to start our sesquicentennial year, and I'm the 16th president and the first woman. If it's an opportunity to talk a bit about the importance of women in STEM fields and technological professions, I'm really happy to do that. on the other hand, I was, you know, Susan Hockfield at MIT has come and gone at this point. And Shirley Jackson, my former boss at RPI, has been there for 15 years. So it's not as if there haven't been other wonderful, admirable women leaders of technological universities. But I am the first at WPI. And so we'll definitely look to use it as an opportunity to continue to diversify our enrollment, to continue to advance the cause of unleashing all the brains that we have on the global challenges that we face. And to me, that's what it's all about.
You are a woman who, since childhood, has been fascinated by space and by science. But do you think there's anything that actually still holds women back from these fields?
There are some things that hold women back from the fields. I think that there are still biases out there. However, I think that for the most part, we have not, as STEM disciplines, done a great job of showing what kind of positive impact you can have as a scientist, as an engineer, as a computer scientist.
Whether
you're a woman or a man, we still have the stereotype of, you know, the solo scientist in the lab at 11 o'clock at night or the solo coder at the terminal by themselves coding away, where what our students get to come see with the project-based learning and the hands-on work in communities around the world, they get to see how real science and engineering challenges can be met by real people in the world. And we know, again, because we've done some quantitative assessment, long-term, following of folks who've been through this project-based curriculum, and we see that the impact is high, but it's even higher on women than it is on men, it turns out.
Good luck in your new job, and thank you for coming into the studio.
Thank you so much.
Lori Leshin is the new president of Worcester Polytechnic Institute, and she's the first woman president in the school's 149-year history. Stay with us. Coming up, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson on the shortcomings of classroom learning and the importance of encouraging curiosity in the world. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.